Welcome to the How Did They Do It Real Estate Podcast. Have you ever wondered how people succeed in real estate and what steps they took to get there? If so, this podcast is for you. Your hosts, Sayla and Eileen Prack, interview top experts in the real estate community to share with you their real estate journey and how they achieved massive success. Our goal is to provide you with valuable real estate resources and to help you apply it to your own real estate goal. Welcome to today's episode of the How Did They Do It Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Eileen Prack. And today our guest is Alex Kolendenko, and he is the co-founder of Wealthy Mind Investments and has been actively involved in over $2 billion of commercial real estate transactions. He is a fund manager, general partner, syndicator, and passive investor in over 60 investments. And at Wealthy Mind Investments, he oversees the deal structuring, due diligence process, investor relations, and strategic partnerships. So Alex, welcome to the show. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show today. How are you doing?
Yeah, excellent. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate the opportunity to share my story and hopefully add value, educate, and inspire somebody to take action.
Absolutely. So I'd love to hear a little bit more, Alex, if you can share your background and how you got started with real estate.
Yes, happy to share. So I'm originally from Ukraine. I have immigrated 30 plus years ago and ended up settling down in Silicon Valley. And in the 90s, there was a tech boom. So I joined the revolution and ended up working in Silicon Valley in startups, Fortune 500 companies for quite some time. At one point, I realized that the volatility of the stock market was not something that would allow me to live life on my own terms. And I started to look at alternative type of investments that are out there. And I've been, you know, a big proponent of the stock market for many years ago. I've been very due diligent investor in 401ks, self-education for my kids. But every time there was a downturn, and as we all know, it's a cycle. Then my 401k and all the other investments would sometimes crash 30, 40, 50%. So I thought there could be a way out. And one way to another, it led to real estate investing. And that's how I got started, because I wanted to minimize my losses and create tax-efficient passive income.
So what did you start out investing in first in real estate?
So I have evaluated many, many different type of investments. I was an engineer in my previous life, as I call it. And I started with fix and flips. I tried that for a while. That didn't work out. Then I moved on to some other strategies, including buy and hold, lending for flipping, for flippers. And ultimately, that led me to where I'm currently doing, which is my primary focus is private equity, alternative investments, and commercial real estate.
So investing in all those different types of real estate, like the fix and flips, the buy and hold, and then now the private equity side of things, what did you see as you've been investing over, you know, several years, decades in real estate? Where do you see that? And then how do you see where you are today with how you're investing in real estate?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think you and me and everybody else, we always evolve. We always try different type of strategies to see what works, what doesn't, what success stories we have, what are the lessons that we could learn. So in the beginning, while I was trying to figure out what works for me was, I was trying to sort of test out different models and strategies to see, based on my personality, based on my preference, based on my risk tolerance, what works and what doesn't. And then I realized at one point, I actually prefer to be a passive investor. Now, having said that, now I'm in a position to help other people to become passive investors. But as we are right now in this market, there's a lot of, you know, things are happening even in commercial real estate. So you continuously need to evolve and look at different strategies and perhaps sometimes to adjust them as certain things works and certain things doesn't. For example, office space, as we all know, is really struggling. On the other hand, retail is doing really well. So we need to have a holistic approach. At the same time, we need to constantly be on the lookout, you know, what works, what doesn't, and how to take all of this into consideration and enjoy your day-to-day activities.
So in your quote-unquote, you said past life, you're an engineer. So what kind of happened between that time period of your life and then as you started getting involved in more real estate, did that change and shift to what you're doing today?
Yes. So as I mentioned earlier, I had a 25-year corporate career. I started as a software engineer, transitioned to project manager at one point. I was a customer, a success manager. I was more involved in the client role, and then I became even a tech executive at one point as well. And as I built more knowledge and skill set, that kind of transitioned to where I am now, where, you know, I'm self-employed. I have my own business. And I look at things very differently versus when I was an engineer. At one point, I think as an engineer, I was very analytical. I was looking at a small picture. But as you are an investor, entrepreneur, I think you need to start looking at very different angles and broaden your horizons.
So where do you see, what are you focusing on now in terms of the different asset classes? You mentioned the office spaces, retail, some of them are performing better than the others. So what about you? What is your perspective on things right now?
Yes, so that's a really good question. You know, the market is very volatile. We're starting to see some distressed opportunities out there. They're not hitting the market as much. But I think there will be a wave of foreclosure, even in the commercial real estate space, specifically around office and multifamily. And we're starting to see some opportunities. Now, the banks are still holding on to those assets, trying to work out some restructuring opportunities or loan modifications. And, you know, we're still bullish on multifamily, but I think in the long term. In the short term, I think there will be a lot of volatility. We have also started to analyze several other sectors that some people might not be super familiar with, which is medical office space, MOB, industrial, specifically warehouses. And it's been a very good success, and a lot of investors love the cash flow component from the ATM fund. I think a lot of people don't even know. But you could invest in the ATM fund even as a passive investor and collect pretty high 20% plus cash on cash, including monthly distributions, and receive tax benefits.
So there's so many different asset classes out there that you could invest in within real estate. You mentioned several of them just now. For you and other investors as well, based off the market as well and what's happening today, how are you looking at the investment types and looking at where the opportunities are and trying to prevent or mitigate as much of the risk as possible? You mentioned, you know, there's a lot of distress coming down the pipeline as well. How do we avoid some of that as well?
Yeah, I think it comes down to obviously due diligence. And I know a lot of people talk about, you know, asking the right questions, track record. But even that, what we learned, is not enough. I think you need to really, really understand the risk tolerance. What is the downside protection? What is the worst thing that could happen to this particular investment in terms of, let's say, the interest rate hike? How much reserves do you have? Is your underwriting really conservative? As many operators say, yes. But then I think you have to dig a little bit deeper in terms of how conservative is that. Have you modeled it for no rent growth, for example, or negative growth? Have you modeled a scenario where insurance could go up, you know, 40, 50%, or sometimes double in those cases? I think we're starting to see some of these cases where this was not planned. This was something that nobody thought that could happen, but it did happen. So let's not repeat the same mistakes and have a much more thorough due diligence process as you evaluate your investments going forward.
Why do you think like the medical office space and like the ATM funds, those types of assets are performing better in today's market than some of the other classes that might be experiencing some distress today?
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons. So number one is the medical office type of investments that we're looking at have a triple net lease in place, where you have a tenant who is guaranteed to pay for even escalations in rents, and based on demographics and locations, is they identify this asset, and this is a large tenant that has very little chance of walking away from this particular lease, which is typically in a 10 to 20 year frame. time frame that we're talking about. And so from the risk perspective, or from the fundamental, we all know that, you know, we get older. As we get older, you know, population, we get sick. And even during COVID, if you think about it, the only thing that were open is probably what, you know, food type of stores and medical type of facilities where we need help no matter what. That's one. When it comes to ATM fund, there's a lot of talk that, you know, the Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency, the Venmos, the PayPals of the world, that the cash is decreasing, which is true. But on the other hand, not a lot of people do know that there is a demographic, there's a certain population in the United States that they rely on cash type of transactions. They will probably never, ever, ever in the next, you know, 50 to 100 years adopt these type of payment types except for cash. I mean, we're talking about people that are unemployed, cash type of businesses, people that are on disability, people that are on welfare. And I mean, we're talking about millions and millions of dollars and people that are using the ATM machines for just their day-to-day life, such as, you know, buying groceries, you know, buying something that is necessary for them. In fact, you know, the deciding factor for us as investors and fund managers was COVID. During COVID, the ATM use of the machines have only dropped 9%. And they did not stop the distribution. And at that point, I think we decided that we'd like to offer this opportunity to our investor base, and we never look back.
So with all the volatility happening now and, you know, the change in the market later half of 2024, how are you and your investors preparing to capitalize on some of those investments? And will your strategy change on what you're going to focus on?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I think there's a lot of people sit on the sidelines, you know, waiting for distressed opportunities coming up. I think there's still a lot of appetite. I think a lot of investors have accumulated some scars from the investments that are not performing. Some of them, you know, are not doing that well as well. But I think the market, just like it always does, it does come back. The interest rates will come back. They will normalize. The rent growth will resume. It's just not a question of if. It's just a question of when. Now, I think just as I mentioned earlier, you know, we're going to be even more conservative. We're going to double down on our due diligence. We're going to be looking at some deals, maybe come in as a pref equity versus the common equity like we've done in the past. We want to look at the downside protection for our investors, as well as identify some of the other alternative assets, such as ATM fund, where they have a cash flow distribution.
Do you think that the sentiment of investing in real estate will continue to change a little bit based off of what's going to be happening coming up? Because right now, like you mentioned, a lot of people are kind of sitting on the sidelines. But with all these opportunities coming down the road, do you think that sentiment will change a little bit?
I think so. I think, again, it's a cycle. Right now, things, you know, are looking gloomy. I mean, you can't ignore the news that you see out there, especially around, you know, commercial real estate. But surprisingly, residential real estate is doing well. And even within commercial real estate, there's many asset classes that are doing exceptionally well, including retail. Now, again, when it comes to retail, even within the retail, some of the malls are not doing well. For example, I live close to San Francisco. One of the biggest malls, Westfield, is going under. On the Market Street in San Francisco downtowns. But there are smaller opportunities such as, you know, smaller strip retail centers that are doing exceptionally well. So I think on an opportunity basis, I think each investor will have to evaluate their options. And it's going to be very difficult to say no to a deal if it hits the market that makes conservative underwriting, perhaps distressed, perhaps with the pref equity piece with a cash flow. I mean, we all know real estate is a great wealth-building vehicle. Now, we have to be super selective about picking the right investments.
Picking the right investment is one part of it as well, but then also it goes hand-in-hand as the market as well with it. Are there preferred markets that you're looking into, and are there other markets where maybe you might not be focusing as much on anymore going in the future?
Yes, so we really like Sunbelt states. Now, there's been a supply, oversupply in certain markets, such as maybe Austin and Dallas or even Nashville to the world. And we've invested quite a bit in those markets. We like Florida still. We like Carolina. We like certain pockets of close to Nashville as well. So I think on a case basis, there could be deals in any market out there. As you know, I think it's about, again, being very opportunistic and have an open mind of looking at many, many deals on an ongoing basis and finding, you know, a needle, needle in a haystack. So that, you know, we constantly evaluate deals on an ongoing basis, usually 10 deals a week.
So, Alex, what else are you going to be focusing on coming up in the near future here?
That's a good segue to the question that you asked me. What else we could do? There's been a lot of people that have reached out to me and my business partner, Ashish Sanan, about mentorship and coaching and helping them to get started. This is not an easy business. I think a lot of people do get excited in the beginning about real estate and possibilities. And yes, it's true, you could make a lot of money for it. But having the right foundation, having the right mentors, and we still have several coaches and mentors ourselves. But I think in order for us to give back to some people that have been asking us to help, would be a good timing. From the deal flow perspective, we're still evaluating many deals, but we're not doing that many deals. We think there will be more opportunistic opportunities, hopefully later in the year, Q3 or Q4. So we're going to be launching a coaching and a mentorship program in the next several weeks, as we have several people that are, you know, ready to get started with us. We want to give back and show them what's possible and help them to get started in this journey. Now, our focus is going to be, as you know, there's many areas of real estate. Some people focus on acquisitions. Some people focus on underwriting. Some people focus on asset management. In our case, we focus on investor relationship, capital raising, and structuring fund of fund in a such a way that not only you make the deal profitable to investors, but you as a fund manager yourself. I can't tell you how many people actually miss the part of modeling the fund in a such a way that is profitable to them, because it's a long hold period. Some of them are 5 years, some of them are longer. And if you don't put the structure in the right place from the beginning, you might actually lose money as a fund manager, not only to your investor, you will lose money as a manager managing this particular investment on the behalf of your investors.
So Alex, how has real estate investing impacted your life?
It has impacted my life tremendously. I have a lot more free time, obviously, to spend time on things that I like, including my family. I'm an avid traveler. I'm a big sport fan. I give back to the community. I volunteer as well. My older son is in college right now, but my younger son is still in high school. So I drive to different events with him. It's been a long journey. I started on part-time basis and even this business and been investing for many years before I finally put the plug several years ago and decided to do this full-time. I'm forever grateful for my business partner and the investors who made this happen. I love this business. You can probably tell in my voice, I breathe this business. I am excited about the opportunities, what's lying ahead, even though it's been a challenging last year and a half. No question about it.
Even though the last year has been challenging, it still seems like you're optimistic about it. How did you manage maybe the setbacks that we've experienced over the last year and a half or so?
Yeah, this is good. I think it comes with the gray hair. It remains to you need to have a long-term perspective, number one. I think I mentioned that several times, is it's a cycle. Unfortunately, we're on a down cycle, but things will not be the same. I mean, things were totally different even 2 years ago, right? Living and experiencing several recessions gives me a different perspective versus some of the people that are just starting out. Maybe you're just starting out and things are looking so gloomy. But things will not be the same like that. Another point I wanted to make is I think it's important to have the right mindset and protect yourself against negativity. Even the company that I started with, Wealthy Mind Investment, was based on principle of Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich. We become what we think about. If you set up yourself a goal and continuously work at it and have a positive mindset and guard yourself against negativity. Now, I'm not saying that you need to ignore negativity when it hits you. You need to process that and keep moving on toward your goal, whatever that goal could be.
And what is the one thing you know now about real estate that you wish you knew when you first started?
I think it's surrounding yourself with even more mentors and coaches. I think this is a team sport, especially if you want to go into commercial real estate as well as grow big instead of just being a solopreneur. And I wish I reached out to more mentors sooner and had even more different perspective from other people who have done this, who have experienced some of the things that we're experiencing now.
And what is the one thing that sets the successful people apart in real estate investing?
I think it's number one is the mindset. And number two is giving back, you know, caring about what you do day in and day out. I think Four Agreements is one of the books that I highly recommend if somebody has not read it, is giving your best daily. And it's a snowball effect. I think eventually it's going to be hard for you to set this right foundation and build the habits. But from then on, it will be a snowball effect. Always give your best.
So Alex, where can our listeners find out more about you and what you're doing?
Yes, our listeners can find me on social media. I'm pretty active on Facebook or LinkedIn, or they can reach out through my website, which is believe in the mindset, wealthymindinvestments.com. They can email it to me at alex@wealthymindinvestments.com.
Alex, thank you so much for all of your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Aline, for having me.
And thank you for listening to our podcast today, brought to you by Bonavest Capital. We would really appreciate it if you can go to iTunes right now and leave a rating and written review. Also, please don't forget to subscribe so you can always get the latest episodes. You can also connect with us on Facebook, How Did They Do It Real Estate. We'd love to hear your feedback and any topics that you're interested in for future episodes. If you're anything like Zayla and me and believe that real estate investing is a great way to create passive income and build long-term wealth, check out our free apartment syndication due diligence checklist for passive investors at bonavestcapital.com/checklist. Zayla and I created this checklist for ourselves as we evaluated different multifamily syndication opportunities as a passive investor. So we would love to share it with you so you can use it as a resource as well. Download your free copy today at bonavestcapital.com/checklist. Lastly, to learn more about us, you can go to bonavestcapital.com and fill out the contact us page so you can speak to us directly. Nothing on the show should be considered as specific personal advice. Please consult your legal, tax, and real estate professionals for individualized advice.